What's up, everybody? Episode 18, Stick to the Gimmick, is officially legal. We are legal. 18 years.
Yep, 18 we've been doing it for 18 years.
18 years. 18 weeks. 18 weeks to Stick to the Gimmick, guys. That is Marty Harprate over there. Across from me, Spencer Davies. Just bringing you another episode of STG. Going to talk NXT and WWE, of course.
Wow, that all rhymed.
Yeah. STG, WWE, NXT.
Look at that.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. We are still so entrenched in this conversation about game one of the NBA Finals. Marty, I'll give you a platform just real quick before we start talking about wrestling. I know that you're feeling pretty down about this. So I'm mad. Yeah. Would you like to expand upon that?
No, because I'll get lost. We'll talk NBA for 20 minutes. I'm just mad.
Well,
I almost broke my Twitter silence just to tweet, I'm mad. I almost did it.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I do for a living, folks, is cover the NBA and watching game one. We sure as hell got our money's worth. It was unfortunate the way that things ended, but I think that we're in for a good series. If you guys are interested in my NBA Finals coverage for the Cavs and Warriors, I am on Twitter at Spin Davies. That's my professional account, reporter account. But this isn't about that.
You know what it felt like? A really, really good match between AJ Styles and Nakamura that ends in a double TKO because of a double low blow. That's what it felt like.
Look at you bringing the analogies. Perfect, Marty. There you go. Everything relates to wrestling. Everything. God. All right. Real quick before we start. Draymond Green.
Hate him.
Who is he in the WWE?
In the WWE? Like, who does he...
As a heel.
As a heel? Oh, God. I don't know. I can't think of a heel that I actually genuinely hated with every fiber of my being in the WWE in quite a while. I hate Roman Reigns, but like that's just because he gets shoved down your throat.
Yeah.
I would compare Steph Curry to Roman Reigns. Steph Curry of his unanimous MVP season is Roman Reigns because it was everything on ESPN was Steph Curry and Steph Curry. And everything on WWE is Roman Reigns.
And Roman Reigns. Draymond Green, folks, hit us on Twitter at that. We are at Gimmick Pod on Twitter. We are at facebook.com/stick to the gimmick. So, Draymond Green, what heel is he in WWE? Hit us. Hit us up. But like we said, we're not here to talk about basketball, even if you want to equate it to wrestling right now. But we are here to talk about NXT. We are coming off of a pretty good episode, actually. I think one of their heavier episodes. A lot went on. A lot went on in that episode.
Yeah.
We open up with Aleister Black coming out, the first time we've seen him in what feels like a month on television. Comes out and
he's so weird to me because like
I'm gonna be nitpicky again.
Sometimes he comes out in ring gear, sometimes he comes out in like not ring gear, but he comes out in ring gear when he's not gonna wrestle and comes out and I don't understand his logic behind what he wears to the ring.
Well, I'm gonna nitpick again. They're making him too human. Do you hear him when he's talking in promos? He's starting to sound like a babyface, where he's supposed to be a tweener.
He's never been a tweener.
I feel like he's been a tweener.
Mm-mm.
Just like
he's just never played
the mystique.
Full babyface role.
The mystique goes away. Remember our debate about that whole vignette versus in-ring promo thing?
Yeah.
I'm still on that. And if you guys didn't know what my opinion was on that, I think that a more powerful message and a more strong build of a character comes from when he's in the room with the candles with his legs crossed, as opposed to being in the ring cutting a promo where you can see the ultra human side of him. Obviously we know he's a human, but I want Mystique with this character sort of like Taker, and you know.
I'll counterpoint you on that because I feel like they're trying to make him look human. Because when Lars comes out, that's what happens. Lars comes out.
Spoiler alert.
Lars comes out and like it's announced that it's Lars versus Aleister at TakeOver. He goes for the black mask and Lars catches it.
One-handed, by the way, which was badass.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you know, like he's not this unstoppable force. Like Lars is the unstoppable force.
Storyline-wise, okay. Okay, I like it in that sense. But so, as like, a character in general, I don't like what they've done with him to that point.
I think he still feels the same to me.
Fair. I disagree. I don't know. There's just something about, like, he delivers strong promos, but like he didn't have that, you know, same mystique.
It's weird. Like, to me. This match is weird to me, though.
I think it's a good fit.
I know they've been building towards it, and they haven't had, we've said it before, or I know I have, where they haven't had like a big go for the NXT title, really, like to be like a viable threat. Like you always have,
we had
like
Killian
that,
Dane.
You always have that like monster, like Braun going for the title or something like that. Like that big person, that unmovable force.
Yeah.
And they never really had that. I mean, like
Joe would probably be the closest.
The closest thing, but
Kevin Owens.
Joe's bigger.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well,
but like
I'm talking
at the same point, Joe's a nimble heavyweight. You know, like he's not like
a Leviathan.
He's not a brute.
Yeah.
Lars is a brute.
Yes.
So they haven't really done that. So I can see why they're doing it. And they've built Lars up well.
Yeah,
it's
I was
going to
say,
never...
from where we started with Lars Sullivan, he's definitely grown as a character, I think, is showing at New Orleans. And that ladder match really opened a lot of eyes.
I never look at Lars, like, because I hated Braun when Braun first came out. I despised Braun.
I jokingly made his theme song my alarm clock.
Is it still?
From the very moment that they debuted that theme song in the new character with him. And since then, I have not changed it. I have always been a Braun stan.
See,
I
hated Braun when he first came out because that's how he was built. He was built as this unstoppable brute that just ran through literally everybody with nothing.
Yes.
And that's not how I see Lars. Lars just looks like, you know, he's big, but like he's weak. Kind of like how they built AOP. How they're...
Well, you can't say he's weak. He's beatable.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Beatable, yeah.
So like, I don't look at Lars and go, wow, all right, Alistair's losing. I look at it and go, that's just a tough opponent.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It's definitely a formidable adversary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good booking for a summer NXT TakeOver.
And on the other odd point about it is that Lars is a brute who's not bad on the mic.
No, he's not.
His lisp definitely
takes you out of it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
someone's going to, you know, draw attention to the lisp. But no, he had a strong promo there. There's no botches.
Mm-mm. And, like, he can talk. Like, I mean, he talked about how Alistair's been on the scene for 16 years.
He put him over.
Yeah, he put Alistair over and yet was like, but that doesn't matter to me because I'm still going to run through you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he did well. He is good on the mic. It's just the lisp can definitely, like, crack that hard exterior where it's just like, oh, like, how can I take you seriously?
Well, yeah.
Not that, like, there's anything
wrong
with
the lisp.
No, there's
nothing.
It's just that instant
thing. It's like with Jack Swagger.
Yeah. It's just like that instant thing where you're just like, oh, that's kind of funny. Kind of takes you off guard a little bit. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, you know, it doesn't sell the whole gimmick as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think he's good on the mic. I think he's going to, like, the only problem I have is I just know it's not going to be a clinic. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I just want that 5-star match. But I know it'll be good.
It's just
not going to be that title match. Like, it's not going to be Almas for Gargano.
Yeah.
You know what
I do like about it, though, is this gives Alistair a completely different look at, you know, the talent that he's faced. He's faced Andrade Cien Almas. He's faced Johnny Gargano. He's faced Velveteen Dream.
Has anybody ever kicked out of the Black Mass?
I don't believe so.
Lars will.
You think so?
Yeah.
That'll be the first one to do it?
Yeah.
All right. I still think that, like you mentioned earlier, when he caught the Black Mask with the one hand, that was badass.
Yeah,
that was badass. And then he gave him the freak accident to, you know, close the promo. I thought that was good, and it was a good opening segment. It really was. I think that put both guys over and made us remember who Alistair was, and also, you know, that Lars Sullivan ain't no slouch.
Yeah.
Next, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was War Machine, or...
Raiders.
War Raiders versus those jobbers, right? Was that the next thing?
I think so. I'll look it up. But
yeah.
I'm pretty positive that that's what
it was. I'm pretty sure that was the next first match of the night.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, yeah. Because obviously they have vignettes and stuff in between, and we can address those sporadically. But they're growing on me. I know a lot of people don't like the, you know, prototypical squash mash stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing more of move sets from War Raiders as they've progressed. They're really athletic. I did not realize how athletic they were.
Yeah, that's like their thing. They're super athletic, but yet still super hard.
It's like
hitting.
A tag team of Samoa Joes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's crazy. I think that the springboard elbow when they, I think it was Rowe had the guy up on his shoulders, and Hansen bounced off the ropes and did like a springboard elbow or something. And I was like, oh, geez. Hansen does the Bronco Buster thing in the corner, which is nice. We didn't see the one I like the most, where they toss him up in the air and
they
slam
catch him.
Yeah, they didn't do that one. But the finisher suite, I like it because they don't do the typical, backbreaker into the leg drop. He's up in the air. He's all the way up in the air.
It's like
finisher.
A backdrop to a leg drop.
Yeah. He's all the way up in the air. So I like that finisher. They're going to skyrocket to the top of the tag division after, Lorcan and Danny Burch are done with Undisputed Era. I feel like that's going to be the next in line for a tag title shot, and they're going to have a run.
Yeah.
And they're building him well. By the way, same thing on the entrance. Stop closing up on them when they do their stupid roar. It sounds stupid. Chance during the match. I did like, we haven't had one of these in WWE for a while, like Raiders, even though it's kind of reminiscent of Warriors.
Yeah.
But, Raiders, and then the not too sweet hook 'em horns thing that they do.
Mm-hmm. I wish everybody could have seen mimicking of that right there.
It was
pretty bad.
It was subpar. But yeah, I think they're going to get a pretty good run there in the tag division, especially as things progress with the Era, Lorcan, and Burch feud, which we didn't see this week. They were not on television this week, which shows you how deep that this roster is on the show, because it was an excellent show. I believe the next thing they did was
ECW.
EC3, yep. Like walking in.
Yeah, it was his match.
Now, this was interesting. So, I thought he looked a lot better this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that he looked more... He looked faster.
Mm-hmm.
He looked faster. By the way, I tell you this every time. Fabian Aichner is good. He's good. I don't know what gimmick they're going to pin onto him, but he can wrestle. Did you see the springboard five-star frog splash crossbody?
Mm-hmm.
That thing was nice.
Yeah.
That was real nice. And this is the guy who was in the Cruiserweight Classic a year ago that really turned my head in the first round. But anyways, EC3 looked a lot better. He looked a lot faster, a lot more aggressive. In the middle of the match, Johnny Gargano comes out, runs to the announce table, grabs the mic and says, "Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, this is a contract for a Chicago Street Fight at NXT TakeOver."
Which I thought was really, really weird.
Well, this is what NXT's so good at doing.
Well, my problem with it was, all right, so in the beginning of the show, they announced that, like, they wouldn't be there because everything was so red hot between them. It wasn't safe for them to be there or some shit like that. But at the beginning of NXT, they went over the takeover matches.
And they already announced
it.
They announced it on social, actually.
They announced it at the beginning of the night that match was going to take place. But then when Johnny came out, he made it sound like he was announcing it. Like that was the announcement that match was happening. But it wasn't a surprise at all. It was just like, oh, okay, cool. You agreed to a match that we already know is happening. Thanks. You know what I mean? That's what it felt like.
It's the first time I've ever heard you complain about Johnny.
Yeah, because... I'm only complaining about it because, like, there was no need for them to announce it earlier. They could have just ignored that part, let it be, like, when Johnny comes out, he almost announces it, and then make it official.
So production screwed it up by the fact that they should have let Johnny do it himself, surprise the audience, instead of revealing it first.
Yeah. Like, there was no reason for it to be like, oh, by the way, this match is happening, and then Johnny comes out 20 minutes later. Guys, I signed a contract to this match. It's happening. I agreed to it. Let's do it. Blah, blah, blah. But like, it was just like, already know.
This is going to play into EC3's first feud now.
Yeah.
I think we know that now.
Because
they were mentioning, EC3 looks confused and as if, Johnny stole his moment or something, which I think in the ring will be really good. And I think that EC3 will be able to elevate Johnny on the mic even more.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're done with this Gargano Ciampa feud yet. I really hope that EC3 doesn't get involved in the street fight.
Yeah, which I mean, it's a street fight, so it's believable for him to be involved in some way.
Right, right. And because we're not ready for this Ciampa Gargano thing to be over, we want our three stages of hell match.
Yeah.
I could see that in Chicago, especially if EC3's not on the card.
And because you almost have to have Ciampa win.
Almost, yeah.
So that you can
Yeah, because
match.
You need to even it up and mm-hmm. then create the rubber match. Which would probably be on NXT television. Now that I think about it. Because
no,
because
SummerSlam's
would,
only in 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
August? I think they wait till August?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't have that rubber match on NXT television. But I could see a situation where it was. But yeah, no, I think that EC3, Gargano, clearly has a, you know, started direction there. I did want to talk about Bianca Belair. They did the whole, you know, who is Bianca Belair thing, that mm-hmm. as they do for a lot of NXT superstars. They give an actual background on her stuff. I thought it was very interesting about, you know, her family. She's got a couple trailblazers, a great-grandfather, and her grandfather did some extraordinary things.
I don't remember what they were.
I don't remember. One was like... the first African American, I want to say, electrical engineer or something.
It was something, and then like yeah. her grandfather had 2 PhDs or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they, you know, went through, you know, what she did in high school, being a track star, going to Tennessee on an athletic scholarship that she had to earn. She also ran track there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then
she said she did everything.
Yeah. Well, she cheerleaded. She played basketball. I didn't remember that. And then they went into, after that, she kind of lost herself a little bit and then started doing CrossFit. And that's where WWE caught her eye. You know, the WWE caught eye, you know, wind of her and brought her in for the tryouts. I do like the way that they're building her and the fact that she's not full on heel, but she's not. You know, Little Miss Nice Girl.
Yeah.
They're doing the thing like, you know, I didn't have to go on the indies. You know, I'm doing this from the ground up. I'm better than all of you. I love that. And as I told you before, I've been a fan of her for a while. I know her that athletic ability is probably the highest since Ember Moon
on
that roster. She's really strong. The 450's nasty. I think she's got a really good moveset. And she's gonna get a chance at the NXT title, women's title, eventually.
Yeah.
Because they're definitely building her up as they should be. Because I think she's got a unique thing about her that a lot of the women, you know, kind of don't. And speaking of the women, we may as well address this. Lacey Evans interviewing about Kairi Sane beating her previous week. They're doing the rubber match next week, they announced.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be part three. Both of them obviously have a win. It's another woman I think she's
Which
a
is
heel.
Good
she's a little dirtier of a heel.
Yeah.
But she won clean. That's how they're building her right now. That she's like that confident heel that believes that she's better than everybody else. But, I mean, she backed it up.
Yeah.
So I think that, like I said, it's a good direction they're going with all of these women in this division right now. They're really building them up. And we'll get into the main event a little later, which we obviously will have to discuss in depth. So what was another thing that happened on this episode?
I'm trying to remember. So you... Oh, Ricochet.
Oh, my God. How can I forget? How can I forget? Yeah, Ricochet and Velveteen. My God.
Well, no, it was a Ricochet...
Well, yeah. First. I was talking about the post-match interaction, but yeah. So Ricochet faced who?
Chris Dijak.
Oh, that's right. Our boy debuted.
Yeah, I mean, he wrestled at an NXT Cleveland when we saw them back in, Jesus, when was that?
March.
It was way before March.
It was January.
It was like
when Johnny was quote-unquote fired.
So it was like January. I think it might have been January.
Okay. No, see, with Dijak, me and him, like, that was somebody that stood out because, one, we never saw him on TV. I mean, I knew about him from the, you know, indie circuit. But, like, sheer size, 6'8", I don't know how many pounds, but big ass dude.
Yeah. And he's athletic.
Yeah.
Very athletic.
So, yeah, that's right. We'll get into the match then. My apologies for looking ahead. I think that Ricochet showed a little bit more of an adaptive style here. He still kept his high flying ways, but dude, some of those chop kicks he did, like where he lifts his leg in the air and kicks him in the back of the neck. Yeah. I love those.
I actually thought Ricochet was going to lose this match.
Oh, because of Dijak's debut?
Yeah, just I thought like they were going to build like, and like Dijak still looked good. It wasn't like he
came in
and
lost. Oh, when
he
caught him on the tope and choke slammed him on the side of the ring.
Yeah,
that was sick.
That was nice. And like Ricochet looked good, and obviously, dude, but like Dijak looked great.
How about the deadlift after the second suplex?
That was insane.
That was Cesaro-like.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that, you know, Ricochet had the chops to do that.
And it was
Dijak,
like,
Dijak kind of, like,
he's
when,
a
he
big
sandbagged
guy.
It. I mean, like, purposely sandbagged it, but he sandbagged it, and Ricochet did all of it.
I audibly said, holy shit, when that happened. Like, he did that, and I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, how can you do, like, he looks like he's twice the size of Ricochet, and he just, no problem, just lifts him from rolling over him. Like, so he's over his head, like how Rollins goes from the top rope suplex to the Falcon, whatever the hell that move's called.
Yeah, the Falcon Arrow.
Yeah. His, like, he's bent over and has to lift him through his legs. Oh, like, it was insane. It was absolutely insane. That deadlift suplex was insane.
It was stupid. It was stupid strength. And Ricochet, man, they're really building him well. He's been on TV for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and, like, that was just strength that, like, you don't even expect out of him. So it's just, like, he's a high flyer now and shown that he's damn strong.
Yeah. So after he beats Dijak with the 630, I think they're calling it. Or
it might be the 620 or 630. It's a weird number.
It's nasty, though. I mean, think of... Now, like, you know, some people might get, like, a little bit, you know, why doesn't he land, you know, splash?
Mm-hmm.
But he does it. He makes it into a senton.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of nice and unique. And I like that finisher. So after the match, he cuts a promo on Velveteen talking about Spotlight, you know, whatever. And I think this is an excellent feud right now.
Oh,
they're making into it. They're doing a really good job of building this. You know, he's, you know, basically calling him out, you know, for what, to do it at Chicago, I think.
Yeah.
And then Velveteen comes out, you know, matches him on the mic as always. I don't think he ever went to the ring. Yeah, no, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
He went on the ramp.
Yeah,
okay, so then,
and walked down a little bit, and he was like, anything you can do,
the dream can do
the
better.
The dream can do better.
That was the main part of the argument. And then Ricochet does this ridiculous, jumps over the rope, flips, lands on the ramp, walks up to Dream, and said, prove it or something? Or
yeah.
Show me?
He freaking front flips out of the ring and lands on his feet without even having to catch himself, just on his feet.
With no effort at all. No effort.
It looked
effortless. It's
nothing
to him. It's nothing to him.
It's ridiculous that, like, that's one of the, like, that's a holy shit moment that you talk about. And it's in a promo.
I know.
Literally just in a promo. He does a front flip out of the ring.
Which was, I think that's the coolest part about NXT. We're not even talking about a match. We're talking about something that happened
after the fact.
After the fact.
And Dream sold it wonderfully.
Because his eyes were like,
his mouth, his jaw drops. He doesn't say anything, and he just drops the mic.
Drop
like,
the mic.
Like, I can't believe you just freaking did that.
Yep. And this is getting into Dream. You know, me and Marty were kind of speculating, like, when he, like, had the feud with Alistair. Okay, this is going to be his peak in NXT. Like, this is going to be, you know, where he, you know, tops out.
Yeah.
This is getting to that level where this could match it and maybe even surpass it.
Yeah.
To me. At least
this is gonna be fantastic
because I mean, both guys. I mean, you know, the initial start of it 2 weeks ago was like, and then you get the handicap match, you get somebody, you know, you're kind of thinking, okay, Dream's a little justified because Ricochet tagged himself in, and it makes sense why he would do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, they're basically trying to one up each other. They're talking about how much they respect each other on the mic. putting each other over in this feud, and it's really just about who's better than who. And at the end of the day, if that's what it comes down to, that's exactly what wrestling is. Who's better than who? And no one's taking any cheap way out. They're literally just, they're in each other's faces. They're, you know, addressing each other, like looking at each other. No cheap text from behind. This is just straight up mano y mano.
Yep.
And I think that's the best. That's the best. I mean, one's a more of a face than the other, but I think that they're building this great. And this, I think this is going to be the match of the night at TakeOver, despite Johnny and
I agree. And I think it's going to be, it's going to be a, like, Tommaso Ciampa is going to be a great storytelling match where, like, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, like, there's so much built into this.
Yes.
Velveteen and Ricochet is going to be a damn wrestling match.
It's going to be a wrestling match. And there's a little bit of personal, you know, slight involved in it, too, because there's a competition to see who's better.
Yeah.
And that in itself, I think, makes it must see. I think that was the last segment. There was, what was there, one more segment before the
I don't think
main
so.
Event? No. Okay.
I don't believe so. All right.
So let's get into the final match of the night: NXT Women's Championship, Shayna Baszler, Dakota Kai. I was pumped to watch this. I was, the way that they built it over the last few weeks. I was really excited to see how it played out. I told Marty last week I thought that Dakota would be coming out firing with offense and, you know, trying to do the early finisher thing with the kicks. It wasn't the case. They had Dakota play the timid, scared character at the beginning of the match. Shayna's ripping her limb from limb, stomping on her ankle, turning her ankle, putting her in holds.
While I was watching it, when she had the, like, knee, like when she had her knee on her leg and she was like twisting her leg, is Shayna good at making it look like she's literally hurting these people,
or is she doing,
or
it?
Is Dakota that flexible where it looks like it's way more brutal than it actually is?
See, that's making a, you know, reference. That's where Alexa Bliss's thing,
with her
double joint
exactly.
came into play, which can be used to an advantage when you're trying to, you know, make this person look like they're, you know, incredibly, you know, strong and ruthless.
And, like, that was what I was thinking, because, like, as she was twisting her leg, I was like, God, that looks raw.
Yeah.
But I just want to, like, I wonder,
well,
like, is Dakota just that flexible?
I'm certain it is.
I mean, for Christ's sake, she does a scorpion kick in the ring, so I feel like she kind of is that flexible.
I'm certain.
But it looked brutal.
Yeah. I did like the way that they booked it. I mean, I know that, like, it wasn't on the ground the whole time. It was more or less, it was like Shayna was playing Pete Dunne. You know, she was targeting limbs.
Yeah.
You know, stomping on her ankle, you know, twisting her knee and stuff. Like, I feel like that was how they booked it. She got in her face the whole time because she got her in a corner. You know, kept, you know, just pretty much toying with her and saying, you're going to kick me, you're going to kick me. As Dakota is, you know, limping on the ring mat, you know, trying to, you know, get her base. And then she slapped Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, this is going somewhere. Dakota ended up getting off some kicks. She had the, I don't know what you call her finishers in the corner, but she had the huluva kick thing and then the second row.
Yeah,
the
rebound one.
Yep. It looked like she had all the momentum at the end. She was going for her finisher, that thing with, she has the knee on top of the shoulders. It looked like they botched it a little bit.
It looked a little sloppy, but
Shayna recovered.
They
nice.
Recovered well,
yeah.
Because it just, like,
it turned right into the
which, that's what they were going for. They were going for the counter into the rear naked choke.
It just didn't look as pretty, but it was a good recovery, and it was one that you say, okay, they botched it, but it wasn't detrimental to the ending.
No, yeah, it looked believable to where it was just like, oh, she kind of slipped, and then she caught her. You know what I, like, so it looked, it was recovered well if it was a botch, and if it wasn't a botch, it was a little, not as, you know, flawless as they probably would have wanted it to be. But it took away from nothing at all.
It wasn't the finest finish.
Shut up.
I had to get one in reference.
Shut up.
But so after the fact, they had her tap out. after the match was over, when they kept on focusing on Shayna and Dakota, I thought that Shayna was going to give her like a pat on the back, like Undertaker and Jeff Hardy or something.
Oh, what the hell are you thinking?
No, I really did. I thought that, like, because like she kind of looked like this after she choked her out. But then obviously she went to attack her, put the chokehold on. And out of freaking nowhere comes Nikki Cross.
This
was hilarious.
Was such a dumb thing that happened. And I loved every bit of it.
I died. She came out and she was basically came out and defended Dakota while she was on the ground. I forget what she did to incapacitate Shayna Baszler.
Nothing. Shayna actually walked out of the ring.
Okay.
She came down. Got in the ring.
Oh, yeah, and then she went
got
out
in her
and grabbed
face,
her title.
And then Shayna walked up the ramp, and then Nikki ran down, grabbed the title out of her arms, ran back into the ring.
Made her come back into the ring. What? How did she put her finisher on Shayna? I forget. They were, like, in the corner or something.
Yeah, well, it was... So then they get back in the ring, and Nikki's like, Shayna, Nikki, title, now. And she kept saying it, and then she was like, Dakota, you're the ref. And she hands her the title.
I thought Dakota was going to turn there for a
minute. I thought it was... Dakota played it well, where she was just like, what the hell is going on? And, like, she had, like, that quizzical look on her face. And then, like, she, like, hands her the title, and, like, Dakota slowly raises it above his arm. It reminded me of Frank from It's Always Sunny during the wrestling episode where everybody's incapacitated in the ring, and he just slowly raises his hands, and the crowd goes wild. Like, that's what it reminded me of. It was, like, she, like, slowly raises the title above her hands, and then I think Nikki just, like, pushes her, like hits her into
the corner,
and then she gets her finisher on.
Yeah, the swinging neck breaker.
And then Dakota counts 1, 2, 3, and then Nikki thinks she won the title, and she's running around with the title.
She celebrates in the crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was really funny, and I'm glad that Nikki's back in the picture. We've been talking about Nikki for a while. She hasn't had a program
in a while.
3 months? Mm-hmm. 2 months? I don't think we've seen her in a match.
Yeah, she's just kind of been like next to Sanity.
Well, because
here
Sanity
and there
got
and...
called up, that screwed everything up with Nikki. They're keeping her theme music. I heard that. So she's still in that Sanity mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious to see whether they go with one-on-one with those two at Chicago or if they put Kai in the match.
I don't know.
All I know is that...
It would be weird for them not to put Dakota Kai in the match simply because she's been so intertwined in everything so far,
right.
You know?
Oh, by the way, we had an unofficial changing of an NXT Women's Championship on whose watch? William Regal. Where the hell is he?
So I need to actually compose a list of everything that's happened since he's been gone.
You
okay?
Shouldn't.
We now have Johnny Gargano getting his neck hit into the Titantron and then put through tables.
Yep.
You have Johnny Gargano's wife.
Getting knocked onto the ramp senseless.
Getting knocked out. You have a unofficial title change. You have... God, what else is there?
People just running around.
Dakota Kai being bullied by Shayna Baszler.
Yep.
Undisputed Era. They had to have done something. I feel like they've had to.
Do.
By nature, they've had to have done something.
They always do.
Oh, they interfered in Adam Cole's match.
Oh, yeah.
Interfered in Adam Cole's match. Dude, it's just a laundry list of shit that has gone down while William Regal's just been MIA.
Gone.
Oh, Dream and Ricochet, I guess, like, it's not that big, but, like, they fought each other in their own match.
Yeah.
They go to him to get a match fixed that doesn't, he's not there.
Go to quote-unquote him.
God, there, it's just a
door with his name on it.
And all of this shit that's just happening.
I really hope he's okay. It's been like a month or two.
It's just like he's just been gone.
William, I really hope you're okay. Truly, truly, truly. We want to see you back on the ramp with your disapproving dad face when something goes wrong in the ring. We want to see it.
He's lost all control.
It's gone. It's gone.
William Regal has lost all control of NXT.
And It's hilarious, too. Oh, God. Okay, so the road to Chicago is looking really good. The card's shaping up really well. As it always is. We never have anything to complain about, usually, with NXT. Never. As for that main roster.
Well, next week we have announced is that Sane
Oh yeah, Evans sorry. Yeah, next weekend. Yeah.
And Roddy versus one of the Birch.
Danny Birch, yeah.
So
because Kyle O'Reilly has to take on Peter Dune.
Yeah, Peter Dune. So we've got those matches going on next week, and then I don't think they really announced anything else outside of that.
I don't think so either. So like I said, as for the main roster, admittedly, I was watching them half-assed this week. Like I said, and like we always tell you, we are an NXT-based podcast, so we are going to weave in and out when it comes to the main roster stuff.
Did not even watch it. So,
okay,
there you go.
Okay, all that I really wanted to say is Samoa Joe qualified for Money in the Bank. That was sweet.
Which is good, because Brian shouldn't be in the match to begin
with. Yeah, Brian and Cass are still going to, you know, keep their feud going.
Yeah.
Man, I can't really remember anything. Seth Rollins is the hottest superstar on Raw right now.
Absolutely.
Easy. Put on another great match. Yeah, I did.
There's just been a lot of
ho-hum.
Shit.
Ho-hum.
You know.
Yep.
Build up for whatever.
Money in the Bank. I mean, the match is going to be... Money in the Banks are going to be good. They're never
Oh,
bad.
Yeah. The Money
They're
in the Bank
bad.
Matches themselves are going to be great.
We just hold them to such a high standard because we talk about NXT all the time, and NXT takes it from here to here.
And
Sasha
qualified.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She beat...
Again.
Ruby Riott, and I think there was another person in that match.
Probably. It was probably like Sarah Logan or something.
Yeah, I don't... It might have been Liv.
Oh, wait, was that the last... No, that was the 7-woman, 8-woman... qualifying last chance match or something.
Oh, I didn't know there was that.
So
many
Sasha
people
qualified?
In it. I believe she beat.
That's right. I forgot. Guys, I didn't watch the last hour of Raw. I completely forgot.
She made Ruby Riott tap out.
Okay. So Sasha qualified. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool. Again, both of the Money in the Bank matches are going to be great. We'll give our predictions and be a little bit more in depth next week.
It wouldn't even be next week, it'd be the week after.
Good. That's probably a good thing because I have to focus on the Cavs next week. So 2 weeks from now we'll give our predictions.
Yeah, next week will be
the in between
a week
the go
out,
home.
And then so 2 weeks from now is like the go home show.
Oh,
the
okay,
go home shows.
Okay. So we
next
still got a
week is that lame duck period where it's just like, oh, okay, well we have
everything set, but here's the in between episode.
Exactly.
The one that usually ends up in Cleveland.
Yeah. So it'll be like that, and then the week after is the go-home show, where it's like the finalizing of all the feuds and all the matches and all that stuff.
Yep. I did want to mention...
Because the 17th is 2 weeks away.
That's right. I did want to mention that Xavier Woods looked awesome again on SmackDown. He's been really stepping it up in the ring. So good. Braun's still Braun, doing what he's doing on Raw.
Miz is fantastic, as usual.
Well, yeah, but I mentioned Miz last week about how he puts over everybody in the promo the best.
He's the
while
best.
Still being... Yeah, exactly.
He gets... I feel like he's finally, like, getting that recognition
he deserves. He's been the most consistent.
Yes.
Let's say that. He's been the most consistent, no matter what storyline.
And it was like, that whole Talking Smack thing happened, and then everybody kind of... He got the spotlight for a second. But, like, he never faltered after that. Like,
nope.
He's still been as strong and as good since then.
Sure has.
And it was just kind of like everybody, he got pushed off to the wayside where it was just like, you know, I want to see him get a run.
Yeah.
A title, a WWE title run.
I think he will. I think they could put him against AJ.
To have a run.
I think they could put him against AJ. I really could.
And
I don't think they'll have him win the Money in Bank, but.
And I could see, like, he beats AJ. That doesn't happen. And I go, oh, really? That happens. And I go, yep.
Yeah, it can happen.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That's not like Big Cass beating AJ for the title.
Whereas, you know, if Miz were to, like, that's why we were so upset when he got put on Raw, because you see him beat, you're not seeing him beat Brock Lesnar.
You're not seeing
him
beat Roman.
Yeah, you're not seeing him beat Roman. Exactly. Even though he did for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, and like it's believable when it happens and you go, thank God. Like, I believe this could happen, but it's like the Miz versus Brock.
Yeah.
Nah.
Right.
Not happening.
Right.
Speaking of which, get the goddamn title off Brock Lesnar already.
It's not happening. It's his title. This is what the Universal title is going to be known for.
Well, I mean, he's going to beat CM Punk's reign, yeah. Obviously, because Vince hates CM Punk.
Well, it's not the real title, so you
No,
can't
yeah.
Really...
I mean, it's had three reigns. It's a joke of a title.
It is a joke of a title.
The title I had when I was 9 has more clout than the Universal title does. It had more defenses, I can tell you that much.
Oh, that's great. Anything happen on the indie circuit that caught your eye on Twitter or anything like that?
All In sold out.
Woo, baby. That's going to be a hell of a show. I'm actually going to watch that.
It's not going to stream.
It's not?
No, there's no plans to stream that from the best of my knowledge.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Only live?
I believe
so. Or they're going to sell it.
Or they'll sell it. The last thing that
I
had
seen.
That might
be worth the buy, though.
The last thing that I had seen about that was that there was absolutely no plans to stream it.
Wow. That's one area that I think they'd go wrong in. With that kind of clout that Cody Rhodes is doing as a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's
no.
Insane what they did with that.
Oh, 100%. How many high-end superstars did they get for that? I mean,
CM Punk's been
rumored because of Chicago.
Rumored because he's apparently he was backstage.
It's in Chicago, right?
It is.
Yeah.
He was backstage during one of the press conferences.
Oh man.
And if you pull off getting Punk to wrestle again, and like, it doesn't matter if it's a one-off.
No. People are going to watch.
Yeah, like.
People are going to watch, which is exactly why you need to stream it. And sure, make it paid. You deserve to make it paid.
Absolutely.
But stream it?
Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, the last I had seen was that there was no plans. So
that's
going to
change.
Who knows?
That's going to change real soon. I did want to mention that Chris Jericho is back in NJPW, and he's starting a feud with Naito, I believe.
Which is very weird also because Fozzy has a song on TakeOver.
Yeah.
He was on NXT television in a music video, but also he's doing New Japan right now.
I feel like that Jericho is starting to get that contract like The Rock. The Rock can do whatever he wants.
I also think that when Jericho went over there to feud with Omega, I don't care what any, like.
It was a plant.
He talked to Vince prior, and Vince was like, you know what?
Get in his ear.
Go over there. Maybe at worst it'll form some sort of relationship.
Yes.
Where we can do one-offs
There's a middleman between Kenny Omega and Vince McMahon.
And I know that, like, wrestling in itself is like the talent is its own, like they're their own thing, they're their own contractors essentially. So like Jericho not being on contract with WWE, he has all the right to go do whatever the hell he wants,
right?
But like at the same time, like I feel like there just had to be some sort of communication between him and the WWE house, if it was Paul or Vince, and being like, I'm gonna go do this.
Well, Paul repairs relationships too. Triple H for you.
I'm gonna
guys
go
that
do this and let's you know
Paul.
let's see what happens.
Yeah,
maybe we can build from there. So
it's a good plan.
I mean, at this point, he did New Japan, came back to WWE, and then went and did New Japan again.
Yep.
So
maybe they continue to plan him. Naito's coming over too. Okada will be. I'll tell you that much. Okada will be in WWE at some point.
I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if at some point Omega goes to WWE. But the only way I'd ever see him coming to WWE is if he gets the AJ Styles treatment.
He'd be deserved.
But that's the absolute only way I could ever see him coming over is if he comes over and instantly is a main event star.
I think it'd be a package deal. Maybe he'd get the instant stardom, but as far as contracts go, I think that him and Ibushi would come both over.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because Ibushi will be in WWE. We know that. He's already been in the Cruiserweight Classic. He's done NXT matches already.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he came over...
Ibushi could help convince him, too.
Yeah, that's the only way I could see him coming over, is if he comes over and he's instantly main event star.
Yeah.
There's no build, no nothing. He comes over and it's, you know what? I'm Kenny Omega. I'm here. This is my house. Like, I'm the best. I'm running it. Like, that's the absolute only way I could ever see it.
I like it.
But at the same point, I would also not be surprised if he never steps foot in a ring in WWE. If he just stays there and, like, that's it. Because it's not like... When AJ Styles is like, oh, you know, like TNA was at some point a reputable brand, then it kind of faltered and then he left and was doing New Japan. It's just like, oh, you know, like I could see him leaving, like blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Like I could see him coming over. Him coming over it was still surreal, but not a shock. At any point Kenny comes over, it's a shock.
Yeah.
It's definitely surreal, but it's also a shock. Like, wow, they got like, the homegrown talent to come over, You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't think Cody will ever come back.
Cody will come back at some point.
He's doing
Bret Hart
good
came
shit.
Back at some point.
He's doing some good shit.
CM Punk's
going to
come back at some
years
point.
Later.
CM Punk's going to come back at some point.
Yeah, when
maybe
he gets
not
beat in the UFC again.
Again in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Marty, we have had 45 minutes. Did you think of your comparison? Draymond Green, wrestling heel.
Dude, I don't got anything for that one.
Nothing?
Nothing.
No one you just despise to your core who's just a, you know, bad person, I guess.
Not because, but like, I can think of wrestlers I've despised because of their exposure and their booking, not because of what they personally do in the ring or on the mic.
All right, folks.
You know what I mean? Do you have one?
I don't.
It's not easy to think of.
This is how we'll get our first Twitter interaction here, other than our boy Zach.
Like, think of a gimmick that's been so just like grating and like Vicky Guerrero, maybe.
The finest.
Dude, Vicky Guerrero, maybe.
The finest.
Because like you hate Vicky Guerrero because of what she does, not of who she is.
No. He is the finest. He is Kona Reeves.
No. No.
The finest.
Mm-mm. I'm going to have to do a hard disagree on that one.
Hit us on Twitter, @GimmickPod, and on Facebook, facebook.com/StickToTheGimmick. Who is Draymond Green's wrestling heel comparative? I think that's a good note to close off on here.
And who's KD?
Who's KD? You need someone extremely tall and...
Well, my picks are Seth Rollins when he turned on the Shield.
Oh, in this element. So Roddy Strong then?
Seth Rollins when he turned on the Shield. No, because Roddy's still likable. Seth Rollins when he turned on the Shield. Shawn Michaels when he turned on Marty Jannetty.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan in the NWO. There it is.
Well, they compare him to the NWO.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Even though they compared the Miami Heat to it too. But yeah.
Hulk Hogan joining the NWO is probably the closest thing to...
He's the giant.
KD going to the KD persona.
Fair. Clay's likable. He's like the heel, but because like they just need a good wrestler in the heel group.
It's the heel stable.
He's the Kyle O'Reilly.
It's the heel stable who has someone in the stable who doesn't.
He's the Kyle O'Reilly.
No, because Kyle O'Reilly's like... I don't know.
I think Clay Thompson's likable.
He's someone in a heel stable who doesn't talk, but he's there, and so he's a heel by comparison. He's a heel by association. That's who Clay Thompson is. Heel by association.
Okay.
I can't think of somebody in a stable, though, that's been heel by association.
Come at us with all your takes, guys. Draymond, Clay, KD, Steph, the Warriors wrestling comparisons.
Clay is Daniel Bryan when he was in the Wyatt family.
Oh,
because
God.
On his own, he'd be likable, but in that, he was only heel by comparison. He was swarming by comparison.
God, I wish we did this show live. I don't know how many listeners we get, but it'd be funny if we could do this show live, take some calls. But we are on Twitter @GimmickPod. We are on Facebook @Facebook.com/StickToTheGimmicks.
The com. Disney Channel original
and
movie.
And it's also not...
Dacom.
It's not .com/StickToTheGimmicks. It's .com/StickToTheGimmick. We are a part of the Cheap Pops Podcast Network. We've got four other great podcasts for you to go check out. Sports Guys Talk Wrestling, Cosmic Geppetto, High Spot Podcast, and of course, Between the Ropes, the whole thing started by Brian Fritz and Michael Wiseman. So make sure to go check them out. They are on all podcast places like Google Play and Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, you name it. Make sure to give them a nice rating and leave a comment, subscribe to their channels, including us,
yeah,
wherever we're at.
Do it to us, too.
Yeah, do it for us because we're trying. We're trying, even though life is catching up. So that's all I have. I know that Marty had one more thing he wanted to let us know before we got out of here, so I'll hand it off to him.
Episode 18's done, so next week we'll be at you with episode 19. Episode 18, though, when you're 18 years old, you don't need a babysitter anymore. And we've got star of the hit movie Babysitter next week, Jonah Hill. Tune in to episode 19. We'll be here talking about all the wrestling things. See you guys next week.